Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 1, the divine text says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Father, bless this book now. In your holy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. In reading the book of Genesis chapter number 1, you can't help but notice the similarity with the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. For the first verse in John, chapter number 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So in the book of Genesis, Moses, when he wrote this, he goes back and says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In Genesis chapter number 1, we have an act of God. In Genesis, John chapter number 1, we have the being of God. John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So there's no doubt in the mind of a true believer, a real believer, a child of God, born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God Almighty became flesh and dwelt among us. When Moses wrote the Pentateuch approximately 1,400 years before Christ, he penned these words in verse number 1, "In the beginning, God." And my friend, there was no beginning with God, but this is as the beginning as it relates to creatures like us. In the beginning, God. My friend, this almighty, eternal, absolute being has no beginning, cannot be measured, cannot be contained, cannot be understood, cannot even be known, except He manifests Himself to us. And all we can ever know of Him is what He manifests, what He makes Himself known as we understand Him and He reveals Himself to us. He must give us a greater potential to understand and take Him in. As time passes and as He raises us higher and higher and higher into what He would have us to be, we will understand more and more and more and more of who He is. We will have to be brought to a place far above and beyond anything that a human mind could ever conceive for you to be able to take in the majesty and the glory and the person and the essence of Almighty God. But when that day does come and you are brought into His presence and God has elevated you to that place to where you can come to the presence of that Almighty, eternal, absolute being, and it floods your soul as to His greatness and to His goodness and to His beauty and to His glory, when all that God is begins to flood you, a creature, and you lay your eyes upon that Creator, you will rejoice and shout like you never have before. For all it takes is a knowledge of God to change what you are. All it takes is a knowledge of God to change who you are and to change the focus of your life. The more you know of Him, the more your life takes on new meaning. The more you understand of Him, the more everything takes on a different perspective. You can only understand life as you understand God. You can only understand meaning in the meaning of anything as you understand and take in the majesty and the might of the one that I preach from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. We're on a journey. We started on that journey, and that journey is going to lead us into the presence of Almighty God. I don't think you understand how great a day that will be. The Bible said in Genesis, "In the beginning," I mean in the beginning, there was no beginning for one that has lived forever. I can't imagine, but from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. That's the eternity of that one. But my friend, somebody has got to see His glory. His glory shone forth from everlasting throughout the past. He's always been majesty. He's been the King of Kings. He's been the Lord of Lords. He's been the Creator of the universe throughout eternity past. But for a creature to be made, for something like me, that He raises up from the dust of the ground, and I will one day take Him the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Almighty God. From the dunghill to the King's palace, from hell to heaven, that's where He got me, and that's where He found me. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, in the beginning. We all have to have a starting place. We've got to have a point in time. We've got to have something to reference. We've got to have somewhere to look. But can you imagine one taking you to a place where the place doesn't matter? Can you imagine one who takes you to a time where time doesn't matter? Can you imagine one that takes you to a location where it makes no difference where you are and what you're doing and who you are? It's all about Him.
That is the blessing that God has in store for those that love him. One day I shall see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what I'm going to be. I don't understand fully what I'll be, but I know what I am now. And what I am now is not what I used to be. I know that something's taken place deep down inside me that changed me from a child of hell to a child of God. That initial change prepared me for what lies before me in the future. Oh, what a land. Oh, what a glory. And oh, what a beauty. But my friend, it's all about him. In Genesis 1, it said, in the beginning. The Bible said here in Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word for create there is a simple Hebrew word. It is bara. But that word has profound meaning. That word means that he brought into existence from absolutely nothing. Absolute nothingness. And yet all he had to do was speak it, and it came into being. The word that went forth from his mouth was the word of creation, loaded with power and loaded with the ability of Almighty God. When he says it, that's good enough. If he's proclaimed it, beg me, my friend, take hold of it. If he wrote it down in a book, you can believe it. For the word was became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That spoken word that created everything there is became flesh and dwelt among us. That word which was Almighty God walked for 33.5 years on this earth and was nailed on a cross. That Bible said in the beginning, God created. He didn't have to touch a thing. He didn't have to move anything. He didn't have to look at it. All he had to do was say it. Let there be. And my friend, when that word went forth from his mouth, it came into existence immediately as God said for it to do. Why, preacher? Because he is an almighty, eternal, absolute being that knows no boundaries, knows no beginning, knows no end, hath no conflict. He is perfect in his being, perfect in his beauty, perfect in his righteousness, perfect in his holiness. He is absolute completion and perfection. That is why the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost make up the Godhead as we understand it. In the book of Colossians, he lays it out and said that when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he walked upon this earth, the scripture says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. You can't lift him high enough. You can't praise him enough. You can't sing the name of Jesus deep enough. You can't say enough about him. For he is that word that was invisible, that spoke universes into existence. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. And when he became flesh, he will never unbecome flesh. Once he took upon that, he will never give it up. Once he crossed that bar, he could never cross back over. Once the change took place, it was forever. It was eternal. And now, my friend, I who was born in hell, I who came from the dirt, I who came from, my friend, from all the corruption that sin could produce, I've been made a child of the living God with his very essence in my soul. The book of Genesis is very instructive. This is quite a picture you're looking at in chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He brought it all into existence as far as Hubble can see, and past what Hubble can see, it is there. I saw a thing a few days ago, said the Hubble telescope had focused upon some black hole out there in space, far beyond what any other telescope could possibly see. And when it focused upon that, so many light years, I don't know how far out they measure it, you know what we're talking about. Out there somewhere in the midst of space, from the perspective that that Hubble was looking at it, lo and behold, and I saw it with my own eyes, stood across. There's got to be one that, my friend, made all of this and put his mark on it, and you know it without a shadow of a doubt. And if you go deep into the human body and go down to the very cell structure of what you're made out of, the thing that holds your very cells together is called laminin. And go home and type that into Google and do a Google search on laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, I think is the spelling. Go look it up, and do you know what? You'll be amazed when you see what it looks like. And this is what holds every single cell together. If it wasn't for that, you just fly apart. I know you feel like you're coming apart. But there's something holding you together. The human body is stuck together with a substance called laminin. Do you know what it looks like? It's shaped in the form of a cross. God put his mark in the human body. Can't do anything about it. I'm sure there's a bunch of agnostic atheist scientists out there cursing, blaspheming, stomping, and saying we can't get away from it. We can't even stay out of church. And he's still preaching to us. That's right. It's like those Russians that dug that hole up there and dug down 7 miles, a bunch of atheistic Russians, and they might very well have discovered hell. God's got a sense of humor, people. You know that? He took atheists to discover a place they didn't even believe existed. Oh, yes. I'm not so sure that they really discovered hell, but I'm going to tell you this. Hell is in the heart of the earth. There is no doubt about that. There is a place down there you don't want to go to. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not going to it. Hallelujah to God. In Genesis chapter number 1, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I like verse number 2, because this is his nature. This is his nature. You see, the creating power of God is his ability. But in verse number 2 is his nature. And I love the way the Old Testament begins to reveal his nature. You're not dealing with a man. Here is one who is one and one in himself. Here is one who moves by his own mind and his own will. And the Bible said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Lying beneath that Spirit of the living God was nothing but absolute chaos. Chaos and ruin, chaos and destruction, darkness in the tempest lie beneath him. And the Bible said the Spirit of God hovered. He moved upon the troubled waters. I read about that time and again in the Old Testament about how he hovers and he broods over. In Egypt, when the Old Testament talked about that night of the Passover, he said, the death angel will pass over you. He said, I will pass over you. Sometimes the hand of God and the hand of destruction is indistinguishable. And that night, that Passover night, he said, I will pass over you. That word translated Passover in the book of Exodus literally means, I will brood, I will move, I will shudder. I will hang there and I will focus myself upon you. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's only one thing he was looking for, and that was the blood. But it was that brooding, like a dove would brood. It's that hanging. It's that when the Spirit of God there in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, he had left the temple. And he left because of the apostasy of the children of Israel. But he didn't just turn around and leave. If you've read your Bible, that's one of the most remarkable things in all the scripture. When Israel had become apostate and the Spirit of God was leaving the temple, here's how he did it. He went a little way and then he turned around. He halted and he brooded. His heart was moved. You listening? He went a little way. He stopped. He looked back at that temple. That had been his home. That's where God's people had worshiped him. And he couldn't go too far. He had to stop. And he looked back and he brooded. He went a little further and then he stopped again. And he looked back and he brooded. That's his character. That's his nature. That's the God we serve. The Bible said, if he be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. It doesn't matter who is against you. If he's for you, they can't overrule him. They don't have his power. They don't have his ability. Their schemes won't work. Any weapon formed against you will not prosper. If God is for you, it doesn't matter who is against you. And so now in time immemorial, here we are back in ages past. Here we are at a place in time that is not in recorded history. But the scripture says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What lie beneath him, preacher? What was underneath that darkness? What was in that chaotic mass? What was beneath that moving of the Spirit of God? Didn't make any difference what was there. What matters is who was there. It never matters the situation. It's always about him. It's not what's going on. It's who is in control. It's never the permanent, never the temporal circumstances or what can be perceived or understood by the natural man. It's always, I am he that liveth I am he that liveth. I was dead, John, but look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm alive forevermore. And now, John, I have the keys of death and hell. His death and his burial and his resurrection, he bought authority to shut hell or open it. It's in his hands. Spirit of God moved. He brooded upon the waters when he reached down and picked up that first hand of dirt that he had spoken into existence. Bara is the Hebrew. Let there be. And the earth was formed and came into existence. And the dirt was there. But he reached down into that dirt. He picked it up in his hand. There stood that almighty, eternal, absolute spirit being that can never be known, can never be understood, nor could be seen unless he makes himself known, unless he lets you understand him, unless he shows you who he is. In that hand was dirt, but in that hand of dirt was the whole history of humanity. Amen! Every human being that has ever lived, every human being that will ever live was in that hand of dirt. I don't know if you understand what's going on. An almighty creator who's able to pick up a hand of dirt, and in that hand of dirt is the future of humanity. It's in his hands. It's in his hands. It's the Spirit of God moving over the darkness, over the tempest, over the depths, over the loss, over the hurt, over the pain, over your life, over your troubles, over your situation, over what's bothering you. It doesn't make any difference what's going on. Has he got you in his hand? Does he hold you in the palm of his hand? Everything may be working against you. You may see no help. You may see no hope. You may see nothing coming right, but it's not about the circumstances or the situation. It's about the one that can look into a handful of dirt and create humanity. It's about the one who can speak into your life what needs to be done. He can bring power. He can bring glory. He can bring release. He can bring it by the spoken word of God. And that's all it takes. Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, I like the way the Bible broad, sweeping statements. I mean, there's nothing mincing, nitpicking about it. In the beginning. If you're a scientist, what are you going to say to me about Genesis 1? What are you going to say about John 1? In the beginning of what, preacher? In the beginning of anything that had a beginning. Amen. In the beginning. Notice. In the beginning, God. That says he was already in the beginning. Can you imagine a being that had no beginning? Can you imagine someone that has lived forever? Can you imagine how long he lived before he picked up that hand of dirt? Think about it. How long did he exist before he picked up that hand of dirt? Well, preacher, he existed forever. You got that right. He exists in a dimension that we can just barely begin to understand. He exists in a place that we can't even fully take in. And he said, where I go, ye shall go also. I go, he said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a promise right there. The church of God has been looking for him for 2,000 years. And then he finished by saying, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And then old Thomas, I like Thomas. Thomas is real. I've been with Thomas. I have eaten with Thomas. I have sat at the table with Thomas. I have worked all day long with Thomas. Thomas and I are good buddies. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can take a good long look at it. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then here's another broad, sweeping statement of the Bible. I mean, it's all-encompassing. It's not nitpicking. It's not piecemeal. It's not mincemeat. When he said it right here, he said it with power, and he said it with authority. Amen. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I told our Sunday school class this morning, you may find this extremely hard to believe, that Mr. Clinton is now an evangelist. He is. He and Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of Great Britain, are evangelists. They've gotten into the religious community, and now they're pushing a UN-mandated one-world religion ecumenical movement. And Mr. Clinton, former President of the United States, is going to go from school to school, from school board, from whatever, and he's going to bring his message in there to teach the kids how that we're all here together and we need to respect everybody's religion. And just as long as you're sincere about it and do the best you can, we're all going to the same place. Glory, hallelujah, amen. But that's not true. I'm sorry. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And old Thomas, when he heard that, he took it in. He took it into his heart and he took it into his soul. Thomas was not a rebel, he was a doubter. You ever been with him? I've sat with him. I've counseled with him. I've talked to him. There's a lot of Thomas in me, just like there is in you. I'd like to rise up and say, well, God, you said, I believe it, it's done. They'll never worry about it. There'll never be any doubt. But my real nature is that I am a skeptic from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I question everything. That's who I am. I questioned it. And do you know something? The Spirit of God moved upon my troubled waters one day. Some of you have never heard me give a testimony that I'm going to give you right now. But you need to hear it. I was a Baptist pastor for 20 some odd years. And I'd gone to the Holy Land and almost died while I was there, because the night before I got on the jet to fly back to the States, a spirit came into that bedroom and I was literally wrestling. And I can't explain it. It's got to be like Jacob over there when at Peniel, when he was wrestling. That's the only thing I can say. I knew I was in danger. And I cried out that night and I said, Lord Jesus, Jesus, help me. And the moment I cried, that spirit left that room. I was no more than 200 or 300 yards from the Temple Mount when I said that, just across the Kidron Valley at that hotel. And that battle I had that night was real. Next morning, we rose early in the morning, went to the airport, flew back to the States, landed at LaGuardia Airport in New York City. We got to LaGuardia, found out to our dismay that they'd canceled our flight. And we couldn't get back to Knoxville, started making everything, doing what everybody had to try and do what they could to get back to their home. I spent that whole night at LaGuardia, that whole night in a strange city, in a strange place. I'm serious as a heart attack. I slept with one eye shut and the other one open. And then I shut the other note, opened the other one. I wasn't about to go to sleep in that place because it was full of everything in the world. As I made it through the night, the next morning I booked a flight to, I booked a flight, got on the flight, started back, got to Knoxville. I think I got in here about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere along in there. Wore plumb out. Hadn't slept in nearly 2 days. Worn out because the night before I'd been fighting with the devil. No sleep, wore out. Came home, went to bed. Got up the next morning early. Got up real early. Made a pot of coffee, went out on the back porch. My mind began to go back on where I'd just been. I had just come back from the Holy Land. Sitting on the swing, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, real early. Maybe 4, I don't remember what time it was, but it was early. Swinging. When all of a sudden, I felt a presence begin to move upon me. A presence that drew near to me. And I knew it was the presence of the Lord. I knew it without a shadow of a doubt. I came up for that swing. I got down on my knees on that back porch. And that presence that had come to me now came over me. And he began to hover, just like he did in Genesis. I felt him above me. I felt him coming down upon me. I felt a power begin to touch me in a way that I'd never been touched before. I felt glory coming down onto me and into me that I'd never felt before. I felt the presence of power and glory and the presence of the Lord in such a way that I'd never felt him before. And I'd been saved since 1973, but this was different. This was God coming down upon me.
And I was rejoicing, and I was weeping, and I was shouting, and I was rejoicing all at the same time. And my mind was saying to me, while all this was happening, my mind was talking to me. My mind was saying, what's happening to you? My mind was saying, what are you doing here? What are you going through? What's happening to you? All the time my mind was questioning, I couldn't deny that there was something coming down upon me. It wasn't coming from my mind. My mind was questioning. It was coming down on me in power and glory. And my friend, I'll tell you what, I just literally bowed beneath the weight of it. And I rejoiced and had just moving through my whole body. Like I couldn't believe anything like that could ever happen to somebody. And I got up from there after a while and went over and sat down on that swing. And just sat there for not long, wasn't long at all. And that spirit came back to me again. He came back again. And when he came back that next time, I wasted no time. I got down on my knees. I got down on that back porch. I got down there and that power came back down on top of my soul. He came down and he touched me and he began to move. And I knew something was happening right then. I knew something was happening that it'd never be the same again. I knew it. And then he began to flood my mind. This time it began to flood me. He began to pour into me spiritual wisdom. Just like I'm talking to you right now, just like he had opened my head up, he started pouring into me spiritual truths, things that he has proven time and again since then to be true, poured them into my soul. I came up from there finally and sat down on that bench. And all I could do, it was just like I had been, I can't explain it. It's like my mind had been taken over by somebody else and filled up. And my heart and my soul was all different. And my wife finally got up. And I went in the kitchen. Yes. And all she had to do was look at me. Yes, and she could tell something had changed. Something drastic had happened. And I explained to her what God had done. He came down on me, folks. He blessed me. I don't know if you call it unction, anointing, filling, whatever you want to call it. It happened. And it was a reality that is more real to me than me standing before you this morning. He hovered over me, and he came down on me, and he stayed with me ever since then in the same way. I walked into a room of a young man dying. And God said, lay your hand on him. Lay your hand on him. Tell him to rise up from that. And I'm going to heal him. I walked into that room. I laid my hand on him and I prayed for him. I walked out of that room. Nothing had changed. He was on a ventilator. They'd already turned him over to his family. Said, go ahead and make preparations. He's going to die. Make funeral arrangements. He's a dead man. I don't know how long it was after I walked out of there that all of a sudden his life started coming back into his body. He came up off of that bed. And Tim Macklin, that's his name. And I'm going to tell you something about him. God's using him out here in a ministry. He's using him big time for the glory of God. I have nothing but great respect for him and for the work he's doing. And God raised him up off of that deathbed. I didn't. God did. But he told me to go in there and do that. And I did it. I walked into the room one time. The woman was in terrible pain. She's gone now to be with the Lord. God said, put your hand on her, pray for the pain to leave. I put my hand on her, and I said, leave her body. And she looked up at me with that look on your face. She said, I don't hurt anymore. He took her pain just like that. Not me. It's him. It's him, folks. Now, let me explain to you what's going on here. I don't have the ability. It's like that spoken word. It's like there's nothing there till the word is spoken. When the word is spoken, the word carries power with it. If you believe it, anything's possible. If your life today is so messed up that you think there's no hope for you, the circumstances probably are no hope for you. But God is greater than your circumstances. He looks for someone that'll believe him. I'm not saying to you today that God removes every affliction and takes all diseases and sicknesses away from. The Bible said the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren and in the world. But I'm going to tell you this. There's an awful lot of people that could get help from God. An awful lot. If they just believe.